Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of Never Say Never Again.
I watched the second half of Never Say Never Again.
And this
is the other half.
Watch till you can't. Wait a second. That song does not appear.
We can't use that one. We don't have the rights to that.
What a strange situation this movie is.
Yeah, this is a fun little weird one. Some people were like, are you going to do this movie? Because it's not canon. It's not an Eon production. Yeah. But we also did Casino Royale. The original one.
We have to do this.
We have to do this.
We're not just focusing on the Broccoli family. We're focusing on all of the adaptations,
yes,
visual adaptations into film of, you know, the 007 Ian Fleming series. And Ian Fleming's name is on this. The main character's name is James Bond. We have Spectres here, Domino's here.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. This is a weird remake in a weird way of a movie that that Sean Connery is also starring in. Sean Connery turns in this one after being like, get out of here, Roger Moore. I'm going to do my own thing. But like,
does he return, or is this a situation where they just cast him? Because he didn't return to the Broccoli family, you know? He's just doing his own thing.
I guess you're right.
You're right.
He just is like, I'm going to be another Bond again in a remake of Thunderball, mm-hmm. which is probably one of the worst Sean Connery movies, right? Like, I think we discussed that.
Yeah, we didn't like it at all. I remember us not enjoying it.
That was the first time it turned, and we're like, oh, actually, these are the movies they're talking about. This is what we were warned about. That these would actually be bad. So it's weird because I was reading kind of the history of like how this was happening McClory, I guess Kevin McClory was one of the executive producers, but he wrote the original Thunderball storyline. And that is how, remember how there was a movie, shoot, I cannot remember which one, that implied that
you're fucked.
There's so many.
Oh, that the one that with Blofeld.
The one with,
right?
Blofeld. Well, he was not in there, but it is implied. They just had like a guy with like a white cat. Well, this one actually names Blofeld.
Yes.
And that's because this is the guy who has the rights to that name. So he's like, I'm going to make another movie.
Oh.
Which is crazy. There's a whole lawsuit thing basically said that he had the sole rights to Spectre and Blofeld. And after this movie, he tried to make
more
movies.
That would also explain why we don't see like Spectre all that much in the other films.
Yep.
I was watching this movie thinking like, why are we so focused on like the Russians and like, you know, China and like all these other, you know, like, countries and different governments when like Spectre's right there as like an evil villain that you can do. That makes a lot of
sense. It's interesting. No, let me read this little excerpt I found on the Wikipedia because I was just curious about like why this is remade and everything. Originally, Neville Said Never was intended to start a series of Bond films produced by Schwartzman, starring Connery as James Bond, with McClory, the guy who owns the rights, announcing the next planned film, Spectre, in a February 1984 issue of Screen International. When Connery announced he would not reprise his role as Bond in another film, because he's like, I'm actually fucking done. he was going to produce another one. It was like, he did this like 3 weeks before deadline. He's like, all right, fine, we'll figure out something else. So in the 1990s, McClory announced plans to make another adaptation of Thunderball story starring Timothy Dalton, entitled Warhead 2000 AD, which is a terrible name. Warhead 2000 AD? Crazy name.
That's a bad name.
But the film was eventually scrapped. In 1997, Sony Pictures acquired McClory's rights for an undisclosed amount and subsequently announced that intended to make a series of Bond films, as the company also held rights to Casino Royale. This move prompted litigation from MGM, who settled out of court, and then Sony eventually gave up all their rights to Bond, including, that's when the Casino Royale name went over to
Casino Royale movie.
Yeah, Eon Productions, they can make that. And then, yeah, they're going to allow them to make a non-satirical version, right? So then McClory claimed he would proceed with another Bond film still after all of this.
God.
And continued his case against MGM in 2000. Like, this is all the way in 2001, but they rejected
Jesus
the suit.
Jesus Christ, this man holds a grudge.
He was still going to make another movie, but then he died in 2006. So,
oh my God, this dude, like, I'm kind of shocked by this guy's, like, he's really just willing to go, like, I'm gonna make it. I also love him going, like, you know what, we can't get Connor, he doesn't want to do it, let's get Timothy Dalton.
Yeah. He's like picking up the ex-girlfriends of Eon, you know, like, like, I'm just gonna pick
the
you
absolute
up afterwards.
Balls on this guy.
It's crazy. He's just like, I got the rights, I'm gonna make money off of this, I'm gonna produce the same movie over and over again.
Get this. So McClory died at the age of 82 in 2006, like you said, from a cerebral hemorrhage only 4 days after the British release of Casino Royale. So he saw Casino Royale released, and then 4 days later...
he's like, my dreams are gone.
He's out.
He was still trying to make it.
Yeah, he's like, I'll never do this.
But I think that's...
he's still trying to make it up there.
But I believe that's how they got... oh, it was The Spy Who Loved Me is why they is the one with the fake Blofeld. That they got rid of... I mean, that's how they were able to make Spectre. It was because he finally died.
Right, exactly.
Like the Daniel Craig movie all these years later. That's like pretty recent, you know?
That's so fucking crazy. Well, here's a hot take for you. I actually really liked this movie a lot.
So I like a lot of things in this movie. I don't think the ending is very good, but I love how it's shot. It looks so good.
Okay. Do you know who the cinematographer and director of this movie is?
I do know who the assistant director is, but I don't know who the director is.
Who's the assistant director?
Assistant director is the same guy who worked on Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes, and so is the cinematographer. The cinematographer of this movie did the cinematography for all of the original...
I should look that up.
Indiana Jones movies, all three of the original ones. But the director is Irving Kirshner. Does this name mean anything to you?
No, not off the top of my head.
Irving Kirshner, in my opinion, is like... I would say one of the best. Oh, so he directed The Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, shit. He is the director of this.
Yes. Why did I miss the I saw his name like. Well, you know, you
watched
the end credits.
I guess I watched the second half. I don't know. And I was like, oh.
Yeah. I saw the opening. And so it was like an Irving Kirshner picture or whatever. And I'm just like, is that the actual Irving? And as I was watching, I'm like, no, this is totally an Irving Kirshner movie. Because, like, in my opinion, he's, like, probably up there with, like, and this is going to be a hot take for everybody, up there with, like, Rian Johnson. Uh-huh. He's probably one of the better directors to have worked with in, like, the Star Wars universe. Yeah. I love Irving Kirshner. And he brings a level of, like, quality and humor and, like, panache to this fucking movie that honestly has been sorely missing.
Yeah. I mean, this movie released the same year as Octopussy, I think a little bit later. And can you imagine the difference of those two movies in terms of, like...
That's what I'm saying, man.
Not even just, like, tone, but just, like, quality in some ways, which is weird. It felt weird going back to, like, old James Bond, because Sean Connery, like, you know, it's like slipping on
an old pair of shoes.
Yeah, and he goes right back into it. But it is funny. He's an old man now, but he's still 3 years younger than Roger Moore was at this time. Which is crazy to me. Also crazy to me, Raiders of the Lost Ark, or not Raiders of the Lost Ark, The Last Crusade, which Sean Connery plays Indiana Jones' father, only takes place like they filmed it 7 years after this movie, when he's like
That's fucking hysterical.
I feel like he's like way older, you know? I mean, obviously he's cast to be way older, but...
Well, yeah, I think like the age difference between him and Harrison Ford wasn't like all that great. Like it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. Yeah, well, and apparently like the Indiana Jones character was based off of like the James Bond characters. Like that was basically like Spielberg wanting to do a James Bond himself, which makes a lot of sense. Like that explains why, you know, Indy's always going around fucking banging ladies.
And going to places you're like, well, I want to visit that. That looks cool. It looks very exotic.
Exactly. But I was like, honestly, because I was like, because like there's an opening song, but there's no like, there's not really any like, there's no theme. There's no like opening titles that look like all that cool.
Does it have the intro? You know? Does it have the fucking bullet?
No.
Not bullet. Gun chamber.
Doesn't do that.
Gun barrel.
What it does have is like, it's like a pattern of like 007, like it literally is a pattern, like a filter that just has 007 on it. And then at first it almost looks like a television screen, you know, where you can see all the different colors on it, and it just zooms in and you realize it's just a pattern of like 007 over and over again. And then it just like goes through the circle of the 00 and then the movie starts. Like it's nothing all that crazy. So I was kind of like, this isn't going to be very good. It also opens with like Bond acting like he's like Rambo, like he's in the the jungle, and he's like beating people up stealthily, and like distracting people. He like throws a frisbee and it distracts all these like, you know, these henchmen or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, Sean Connery's getting up there. I don't know if this, like, really works. But, like, the movie fucking grabs me, man. Even as I started picking up, like, because, like, there's the mention of Domino. Domino has a brother who's, like, a pilot. Mm-hmm. Like, you start to see all the things that, you know, from, was it
Thunderball?
Thunderball. I could start to see all these, like, pieces. But I was, like, I don't think I was all that hot on Thunderball. I think the only thing I liked about Thunderball was Domino's character. No, I really fucking loved how this like story was like told. I loved how it was shot.
I mean,
I'm gonna go into like
coming from a podcast where we watched a shitload of Pinocchio movies and we see how like adaptations can really change. Like, this is really shocking to see a James Bond film be remade into one that we particularly didn't like into something that's like way more elevated. I think if anything, like even if I'm like at the end, I'm kind of like, oh whatever. The ending's kind of like ho-hum, it's kind of lame, it's not very big in the set pieces. In fact, they had a budget, they couldn't do a lot of the set pieces they want to do from what I was reading. It just shows how much different it is from like Thunderball, which I was bored to tears of. I was like, hey, I did not like that movie at all. But then a complete readaptation of using the same characters, using the same name, using the same plot points, but it's like so many things are different. Like, it's almost a completely different film in a lot of ways. I think it even like takes place in certain parts differently, you know?
You realize like what a director and I suppose writers can bring to this sort of material. Like, there is a, and I don't know, like Kirshner seems to me like a very American director. Like, I think he's like from like New York. Like, with a lot of the earlier movies, I think they attempt to like get across this feeling of like a British debonair like attitude to it. This like movie has like a real sort of like a smart aleck approach to the way that the fight scenes are done, the way that there's a lot of really good like setup and payoff, which is something that Kirshner was like big about. I remember there's interviews with him about when he's talking about making The Empire Strikes Back, and he's like, this was like a big space opera and I wanted to put like romance and comedy into it, and it was really hard to like fit that in. Like, that's his style basically. Mm-hmm. He does it here and it works so well. It is so fucking good.
I think it definitely undercuts like showing the Eon production films where they're like, what's comedy? And the comedy is so jarringly out of place, right? Like, it's always okay, I'm gonna spoil a little bit. We watched a little this out of order. We watched another movie before this for recording purposes, but there is a moment it's a very serious Bond chase scene and then they start playing the Beach Boys in the middle of it, and it's so like meant to be funny, but it just feels off, it feels out of place. While like any humor that comes in this movie, it never really like, it may not land, it may not be that funny,
right,
but it doesn't take you out. It doesn't feel it feels genuine to the character and the mood that they're trying to set with this whole film.
I'll set up like some of those jokes as they come up, but I just wanted to point that out and get ahead of everything going. Like, I genuinely enjoyed this movie, and if I'm being honest, like, I mean, I'll see how it ends. I'll reserve my judgment till then. But this is honestly like probably going to be the highest rated I give any of these 007 movies.
That's like, crazy.
No joke. I was invested. There's moments in previous movies where I'm just like, I don't know, like, this is fine. It's just the same shit over and over again. I like really realized here like what you can do with this like character and with this world. Like, you can actually do some like really interesting, fun stuff here that I think like previous movies really sort of like lean on like, oh, you know, he's like a sexy guy who like bangs ladies and drinks and beats men up, and it's like, this movie has all that absolutely, but there is like a real sense of like something special that Kirshner does in this film that I don't think any of the previous 007 movies have been able to capture. I will get to those things. So, as I mentioned, the movie opens with Bond like Rambo. He's going through the jungle. He breaks into like a house as if he was some kind of commando. He like throws a grenade from the roof into like a lower room with like a bunch of like evil guys making plans. Everyone like freaks out, like, oh my God, a big explosion. And then he like swings into the room, breaks through the window, and just unloads on them like with a giant fucking machine gun.
This is a fucking,
yeah, they all die.
It's also shocking because you see like Roger Moore is very much like, I don't use guns that much. And then Sean Connery's,
I don't
like
guns,
I'm murdering everyone.
He's just mowing people down. And then you see this like woman, she's like tied to a bed, and it's this really awesome like shot where like she's sort of separate, like through like a door frame, and then Connery's on the other end of the door, and you see him sort of like walk through. It's really cool. Like the way that it's all set up is really cool. And the woman's like all tied up. And so he goes over, he pulls a knife out. You think he's like going to stab her or something. And then he like obviously undoes her knots on her wrists. And then all of a sudden she pulls out a big knife and just stabs 007 in the stomach.
Whoa.
And Bond. Yeah. And Bond's like, oh, and then suddenly we cut. And we're watching footage of the scene we just saw on a little like television. And apparently what this is some kind of, and honestly, they do not explain further as to like what they're doing here. So I can't really answer any questions, which I had many of. But what they're apparently doing are simulations of field work, because they see there's a new M. Obviously, M has to be recast because they can't work with the original one, M. Yeah. So a new M has come in, a younger M.
For
and he's
reasons.
Like, we need to make sure that you. For multiple reasons, right? Because the guy died, and also, yeah, like there's a whole bunch of reasons why they couldn't get M. So this is a new M. He's younger, he's sexier, and he's just like, Bond, you're getting up there. We need to make sure that you're up to snuff. We want to make sure that you aren't losing your steam after all these years. And so apparently what these are like simulations of field work, and he has died twice in all the simulations that they've done. And I don't know how they're doing this. I don't know what this is. They just refer to it as like war game simulations.
Okay.
But I don't know how they're actually accomplishing this. But basically, all to say, the opening didn't really happen. It doesn't sound like according to Bond, it sounds like these were like blanks, fake bullets. Like he says, like, if I was in the field, I would feel the adrenaline kick in and I'd be able to protect myself, but because these are simulations, this is why I'm like dying so often.
Interesting.
But M is like, no, you see, he says, you're eating too much red meat, you're eating too much white bread, and you're drinking too dry of martinis. And he goes, well, I can cut out the white bread if you want.
That's pretty good.
And it's great. And then so M's like, no, we need to have your toxins purged. We're going to have you on a strict diet and exercise. And he sends him off to a hospital to basically like purge. Yeah. Okay. So this is all starting to come into play.
So the beginning of Thunderball, because I watched the first half of Thunderball when we did it. And I remember he basically, at this point, he flew away in a jetpack. You know, he's already flying a jetpack at this point. He's getting in a car with a bunch of gadgets and shooting stuff. But then he does go and take, like, they're like, you've been working too hard. Go rest at a, like, resort area thing.
Exactly.
And chill out in this hospital.
Yeah. So he gets sent to a hospital. They like have to check his like vitals. There's this one really great bit where he's like with this. So, oh, Moneypenny's here, obviously played by a different actor. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't do anything flirty in this scene. She's just more like, oh, James, you're going to a hospital. So James Bond goes to a hospital, talks to a doctor and a nurse. The doctor leaves and the nurse has like a big like cup. And she's like, oh, I'm going to need you to fill this with urine. And she's like clear across the room. And James Bond is like, from all the way over here? Like he's going to piss from the table he's in across the room to this giant cup. But he like sort of like flirts with her because she's there to like check on his vitals. Then we are introduced to, I think I'm introduced to her as like number 11. She is an evil French woman. I think her name is Fatima.
Yeah, I think
Fatima.
I think she's actually number 12. Maybe I'm wrong. Is she 12?
No, maybe you're right. I might have been mistaken.
Anyway, yeah.
I did watch Fatima. This at 2 in the morning.
Her, yeah,
Fatima. So she is a part of Spectre. And we are introduced to all of Spectre, including Max von Sydow, who everyone should know who Max von Sydow is, right? We all know Max von Sydow?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah, he was, we know him from Seventh Seal, of course, but he was also in The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah.
He played the oldest priest who did the exorcism. And then I think most people probably know him from the Force Awakens in the very big part at the very beginning of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
But he's playing Blofeld. He's the one with the little white cat.
I never saw his face, so I never recognized him.
You never saw his face?
I thought they honestly were not going to. They just said, I don't even think they said his name. So I was like, oh, maybe they don't have the rights to the name again until I saw it in the credits.
They never say his name in my half of the movie either, which I was kind of confused by. They say Spectre, but he says, I am the grand leader of Spectre. They don't say Blofeld. They never do. But sure. I was just like, oh, I remember in a previous movie, they can just show the cat and they have to sort of imply that he's Blofeld. So that's why I'm going to refer to him as Blofeld.
Okay.
So do you know what I don't really recall in Thunderball what if this was like, no, what this wasn't the plan. So this is the fucking crazy plan that they have, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this guy named Jack, who is the brother of Domino.
Yeah.
He is an Air Force pilot. That's the same. He is an Air Force pilot, which is also the same. Mm-hmm. It was a pilot in the last one, too. But here's their plan. They got him addicted to heroin.
Whoa.
And so he's, like, obedient to Spectre because he's got such a massive heroin addiction.
Okay.
And what they do is because he's got this crazy addiction – they have him undergo surgery so that one of his eyes is exactly like the eye of the sitting U.S. president. I don't know how they get the U.S. president's eyes measurements and all that stuff. Yeah. So we end up seeing it, and one of his eyes, like his cornea, is like slightly bigger than the other one. He's obviously wearing like, you know, a contact or whatever. Yeah. But yeah. But so they have him like undergo surgery so that one of his eyes matches the U.S. president's eye. And he will be monitored by Fatima, the number 12. She's going to be the one that oversees and makes sure that all of the plan goes according to plan.
Interesting.
I'm not going to reveal what the plan is just yet, but that is essentially like the point. And the hospital in which Jack is being taken care of is the same hospital that Bond is in.
So that's how... Yeah.
Yes. It's interesting, so that's how they sort of...
In the last one, they basically made him so he looked exactly like a Air Force pilot, and then he was able to hijack a plane based on like looking like him and then steal a bomb, or the two bombs out of the plot. So this is even weirder that it's like... it's not weirder because they literally did like entire facial reconstruction in the first one, while this one's just like, it's just an eyeball. That's not that crazy, right?
It's just one eyeball.
It's just one eyeball. It's not that big.
So because they're in the same hospital... Bond is like sort of keeping an eye because he realizes like there's a strange nurse here that's really like mean to everybody. That's Fatima.
Nurse Ratched.
And it's not Nurse Ratched. And, you know, all the nurses here are really nice, including this one doctor who is a chiropractor. And there's this one scene where he's like flirting with chiropractor and then they hard cut and it looks like he's like banging her. But then it's revealed that she's actually helping pop his back into place.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's a pretty great scene. And honestly, here's the other thing. I kind of have missed, and I never thought I would say this. I've kind of missed Sean Connery as Bond.
I know. He's actually how I felt.
He's really good in this.
It's weird because it's just like, I think the thing is also they toned down a lot of the like over the top sexism in the last, like, obviously he's still like seducing women and, you know, they're still kind of just there in the movie, but they're not as like, he's not doing like really weird gross shit to most of them. I don't think so. No, he doesn't actually. So it's nice seeing him being like, I'm seducing a woman, but it's like he's got such a suaveness to him that even in his older age, it still kind of like fits. While Roger Moore just seems like, it kind of feels like Roger Moore just kind of feels like Biden in some ways, you know, running around as Bond. You're just like, you're past
That's
your prime,
right.
man.
He's sleeping through it.
He's just kind of like,
Sleepy Roger Moore.
Sleepy Roger Moore. Wide awake, Sean Connery here.
Yeah. What president is Sean Connery? If you could compare them, is Sean Connery?
He's like a Reagan.
Sean Connery. He's like a Reagan.
At this point,
yes. The most aware of all of the presidents.
I don't think Sean Connery's the most aware, but he's more aware than Roger Moore. Just kind of stumbles through and like, you know, does stuff.
Man, that is kind of insulting to Joe Biden. It's like, yeah, Joe, you're more sleepy than Reagan, the president that straight up had like, I want to say like Alzheimer's.
I forgot about that part. It's been a while. I don't know.
Dementia. Yeah, it's fine. While James Bond is getting his back popped, the chiropractor is like talking about his back. She's like, oh yes, I can feel
Obviously,
back.
Sean Connery's Clinton because he's banging all these ladies.
I was going to say, like, Clinton's the obvious answer,
right.
But I was like, that's fine. You can see it right if you want.
It's early when we're recording this. Give me a break.
That's fine. It's fine. So the chiropractor, you know, is talking about his back, like going into all the specificity of his like spinal cord and like all the little bits in his spine that are like all tight or whatever. I'm bringing this up for a reason. It's going to come into play later. Then later that night, the chiropractor arrives at Sean Connery's bedroom to deliver a bunch of healthy food for the evening. You know, there's like all this like lentil soup and all this stuff that he's supposed to eat for his health. And then Bond reveals that he has a bunch of unhealthy food like caviar and vodka in his like suitcase and some foie gras. And then they end up eating the food that's in his suitcase and banging.
I can't imagine caviar and foie gras in a suitcase. Like that sounds like the grossest way to store
that. Honestly, right? I was like, that you need to put that in a refrigerator.
Yeah, maybe Q has like a little hookup and he's just like,
that's true.
Miss Q, can you give me a small refrigerator inside my suitcase so I can store some of the good stuff? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and Q's like, yeah, no, I can obviously do that.
Obviously, I'll make that for you, bud, because you listen to me and respect obviously. Me.
So we cut back to Jack. Again, we learn that his sister is Domino. This is actually where I'm starting to pick up his sister Domino. He is a pilot. I'm starting to pick up like the
remake.
Things from Thunderball. I'm like, because at this point I didn't realize it was a remake of Thunderball. Like, and I didn't see this half of Thunderball, so I didn't.
Yeah, it took me a long time to figure it out too. In my half too. The only thing that set me off is I kept hearing Largo a lot, and I remember Domino, and I was like, this seems very familiar. And then there was two bombs, and yes. I was like, oh yeah, the bombs.
Yeah, yeah, it's just similar enough. So, Jack is smoking a cigarette because I guess he's like a smoker. And then he hears Fatima like at the door. So he hides his cigarettes under the mattress that he's in and sort of like waves the smoke away from his face. Fatima comes in, smells the smoke and immediately just starts fucking beating Jack up because she's like, this is bad for your eye. Like, you can't be doing this. You have to listen to us. You have to obey us. Which I'm like, you know what's really bad for a person's eye? Hitting them
yeah,
in the face.
Yeah, I was going to say, smoking a cigarette seems less bad than being punched in the face, but... What do I know?
I think it seems like she's more trying to like instill a sense of like dominance and whatever. But I am just like, this is fucking stupid. So during all this, Bond, who's like laying in bed with the nurse, overhears all this like commotion happening. And so he goes to like investigate. And when he like goes to the door or the window to see what's going on, he sees Jack. And Jack is like in this like thing where his head is like placed perfectly in a little machine, and he has to like crack a code in like 8 seconds while looking into some kind of like light or something. And, you know, Bond sees all this, is very like weirded out by all the situation. And then suddenly he's caught. James Bond is actually like found out by Fatima and Jack, and he has to like run away. But Fatima is able to like identify him, like it knows it's James Bond, basically. But Bond doesn't know like that. He doesn't know that he's been identified.
Okay.
Next day, Bond goes, searches Jack's room, finds a bunch of cigarettes and matches.
He takes the cigarettes and matches and are like, oh, finally.
Finally.
Give me some red meat. I'm going to go get some foie gras. That's all I need. Some suitcase foie gras. That's all I need. Good to go.
It's like that image of like Homer Simpson with like the mouth full of cigarettes.
Exactly.
The thing though that's I guess important here is that the cigarettes are weirdly branded after Largo's like thing, which are like two flags like next to each other. I don't know if you've seen this logo, but I guess it's like the Largo logo or something like that. Because he's been found out, somebody needs to put a stop to James Bond. So the next day, James Bond is lifting weights like in the gym, and then all of a sudden this guy comes in, this big motherfucker. And he crushes James Bond under the weight of the bar.
Ooh.
Yeah. And he's there to just fucking kill. And this dude is like massive. Also, it helps that like Sean Connery's like, he's, you know, he's 6 foot, but he's small compared to this guy. And he's older. So you really feel this thing of like James Bond is, if it was a hand to hand thing, he'd be fucking dead. So he needs to be resourceful. He needs to figure out how to like defeat this guy without just like punching him in the face. So he is able to get out from under the bar. They sort of fight in the gym, and then the fight reaches into the living room. This is one of the moments where I'm like, oh, this is Irving Kirshner showing off. So they're sort of like brawling in the hallway, right next to the living room or where the TV is, and the residents in the TV room are watching a boxing match. And so they're cheering along with the boxing match. You can hear the announcer going like, he's taking to the right, he's taking to the left. And all this is like synced with James Bond trying to hit this fucking big guy.
Great visual.
And then at one point he like smashes the guy. The guy like flies back, and then everyone in the living room just cheers because there's like been a knockout like on the TV. I'm like, this is the kind of shit. This is like the environmental, like, it reminds me a lot of like a Spielberg action scene where like you have like action, you have tenseness, you have you know, stakes, but you also need to like throw a little bit of like humor in there too to like kind of like lighten the
mood. It's funny though, because you mentioned this and it sounds good and I can picture what's going on, but I could also see an alternative universe where the same scene happens and it lands super flat too, right? Like it just seems very goofy and corny. But I can see, just knowing the direction of what I've seen in my half of the film, I can feel this working really well. Also, I like this more than in the original Thunderball, where he just gets strapped to a machine and someone presses a button. He goes, it starts getting crushed. And then has a revenge and then like straps a guy in like a sauna like thing and then leaves. Like, that was just weird. And this is
Shit doesn't happen at all in this movie, which is great. So the fight enters what looks like a laboratory. So it's like a bunch of like beakers and like strange chemicals and stuff like that. So it winds up in here, you know, fucking James Bond's getting tossed everywhere. I'm also like, man, this dude who's trying to kill James Bond really not leaving. Like, it's not a situation where like people are gonna be like, gee, what happened? Like, you know, like he's leaving a trail of destruction in his wake. You know, it's not a situation where it's like annihilate James Bond is quiet, like a hitman level. That's not what's going on here.
No silence assassin achievement for him.
Not at all. So James Bond's being tossed around the laboratory. He goes out and he grabs like a beaker just out of desperation, grabs a beaker and throws it in the guy's face. And the guy immediately starts freaking out. He's like, and he's like trying to like get it off his face. I'm like, oh shit, did he throw like acid in his face or something? And James Bond looks down at the beaker and it just says James Bond's urine sample.
What the fuck? That's so funny. That's really funny.
Yeah, right? And so the guy's just like, and he's like so grossed out, and he like backs up into a bunch of like beakers and, you know,
I love to imagine M like, Bond, we need you to go to the hospital and get better and eat better because your urine is toxic, actually. It actually melts things if you put it on stuff.
Yeah, right?
You're doing a number on our toilets. Bond 007, we need you. The budget's gone out of control.
For Queen and Country, you need to get your urine under control, man. So the guy ends up freaking out, backing up into a bunch of like Erlenmeyer flasks and stuff, and he ends up actually getting stabbed by a bunch of glass work behind him, and that ends up killing him, and he ends up falling forward and his back is just covered in broken glass, and so Bond wins, and I'm like, wow, that was a really good fight scene. You know, I'm really happy for Bond. Bond goes back to MI6. M's talking to him and M's like, Bond, you destroyed that building. And I'm like, he was getting hunted down by some fucking weirdo. Like, yeah, what are you doing, M?
Fucking bureaucracy.
I'm not a fan of this M. This M fucking sucks. I'm not. I like original M because it felt like, you know, there was a level of professional respect towards, you know. This M could not give less of a shit about James Bond.
From what I remember,
not a big fan of
in the later James Bond, M kind of goes in this trajectory where they're just kind of like have a sort of disdain for him, like, damn it, Bond.
Yeah.
You know, you're a huge pain in the ass, but you get the job done. Like, this other one, like, old M was like, crazy, crazy Bond. But, you know, he does this work. It's okay.
And there's like, I remember there was one movie, I can't remember which one it was, where like there was a whole tiff between M and James Bond, and Moneypenny had to be the one to like resolve it.
Oh,
and
yes.
Both James Bond and M like thanked her for it. And so there also was clearly a level of like respect that was held back by, you know, toxic masculinity that neither could really address. I don't know. I feel like this M is just kind of like a shit. Like, I didn't like this dude at all. So he's just like pissed. He's like, oh, we're going to have to fucking like give all this money to this hospital. And he's like, oh, and my meager budget. I'm like, meager budget? You're making insane fucking goofy ass shit like here. Like,
are they? Is there a lot of crazy gadgets? I feel like they're cutting budgets on that.
There is one crazy gadget. So the Q's, the segment that we always do.
Yeah.
What's Q invented today? Will return in this episode. So Jack, the pilot, returns to his job as Air Force pilot, where they are testing dummy warheads. Now, this is in line with Thunderball. However, how is this going to work? Is he going to fly the, you know, the thermonuclear missiles, you know, to the water, which is what happened last time. Remember where like he was taking the missiles and then he like crash landed in the water. So then the thermonuclear missiles could be taken. No. So the eye thing, what's going on with that? What happened was they were testing dummy warheads and then he used the eye that looks like the president's eye in order to use the presidential power to replace dummy warheads with a thermonuclear warhead. Yeah. So those are the ones that are loaded into the plane. And then the warheads, you know, are dropped. And at first I was just like, oh, shit, these warheads are going to like blow something up. Like that's right. That's Spectre's plan. But no, the plan is that the warheads land in the water and are taken by Spectre in order to be used against, you know, the world.
So they don't blow up. They literally just drop hostage. Somewhere. They're literally just dropped and not
there. No, they're just dropped somewhere and taken by Spectre. And they're going to use the warheads to hold the world hostage.
Interesting.
So it works. And so Jack ends up jumping into his car and driving off because he's like, my fucking job is done. I'm just looking for another fucking hit. Mm-hmm. You know, he sort of knows that he did wrong. And Fatima... It drives alongside him and she's just like, good job, Jack. I'm so proud of you. And Jack's just like, yeah, I fucking did it, I guess. And then she's like, thank you. Thank you, Jack. You did such a good job in her like separate car. And then she just pulls out a big fucking boa constrictor snake and tosses it in Jack's car. And Jack's just like, he freaks the fuck out.
I thought she was going to pull out a gun and shoot him, but sure. Why not?
No. Right. I was thinking the same thing. No. So he freaks out because there's a snake in the car. And then and I'm like, okay, so the snake is going to like bite him or like constrict him and kill him. No, it was just a distraction. He drives off the side of the road and smashes into a fucking building.
I guess an accident's like an easy way to cover it up. And the snake's just probably going to leave. Although it'd be weird to be like,
that's what I was.
He died with the snake with him. But I guess, yeah.
Well, that's a fair point, right? So I was like, yeah, I died. Weird that the snake was in the car. So she actually goes over to the turned over car, grabs the snake, and she just pet. Clearly, she has a kinship with the snake. She's like petting the snake. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, baby. And she like wraps it around her neck. This actor who plays Fatima, by the way, very comfortable around the snake. I'm kind of impressed how comfortable she is around this fucking snake. She wraps it around her neck like a little boa and walks back to her car. And I'm just like, okay, so this is a pretty foolproof plan. You know, like you're gonna make it look like an accident. And he drove off the side of the road. You know, there's no snake to compare it back to. But then she like attaches some C4 plastic explosives to the bottom of the car and blows it up.
All right, never mind then.
And I'm like, it seems a little bit strange. But also, this shot was awesome. They keep doing this thing with her where she's in the foreground and the explosion is like in the background, clearly in the same frame. She doesn't like, flinch. She doesn't like blink. I don't know, man. This actor who plays this character, she's doing a really fucking good job. And it's good. It's like really cool. Like, I really like these shots.
I guess with the warhead, I was going to say, Spectre's, the reason they probably wanted to blow it up is because they don't want to let people know that he died.
About the eye.
Well, that too. Oh, the eye's a good point. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, they don't want to have any evidence. I thought originally she was getting out of the car to actually like remove the eye from the socket or something. But no, that's not what happened. So Blofeld holds the world ransom for $25 billion. That's his plan. He contacts the UN and it's like,
billion,
if you don't pay me this amount of money. If you don't pay this amount of money in a week, I will use these thermonuclear warheads. And the funniest shit about this is every single country reaches out to America because they know it's the Americans who somehow lost control over the warheads. And they're just like, what in the fuck, America? You've put all of us in danger.
No, that's crazy. Who could have ever thought
Which I kind
that?
Of love.
You know what's crazy is... Apparently, in the first movie, in Thunderball, he was only asking for 100 million pounds in diamonds. So inflation really went crazy in the 80s, you know?
Surely did. Yeah. I do love it. I love this whole plan. I also really love, because again, I don't know if this existed in the original where people were like pointing fingers, like who's to blame for losing control over the nuclear warheads? Who has the nuclear warheads?
Yeah.
So now we're introduced to Largo, who is the dude that sort of helped all this go, this plan go asunder, essentially. Mm-hmm. He's the one that was working on all this. We are introduced to him. He has a secret base on a ship. He also has a secret one-way glass to watch people jazzercise. So, like, in his base, yeah, he goes into, like, a secret room with all these, like, monitors and keyboards. And then he presses a button, and one of the monitor walls just, like, comes up. And he just watches this, like, blonde woman dance around, like, in scantily clad, like, outfits. And I'm just like, what a strange situation.
What a strange little
but
guy
then we realize...
is.
This guy's a really strange guy. And then we realize this woman is Domino, and her and just like in Thunderball, her and Largo are sort of in like a weird relationship together where he gets her presents and she gets to live on his boat and jazzercise for a living. And so he comes in. This is a really great bit. So he signals himself, because in the jazzercise studio is like a piano. So he goes over and plays a couple notes on the piano, and she's just like, Largo, my baby, Maximilian. And she goes over and like kisses him, and he goes, here's a beautiful necklace for you. It's called the Tears of Allah, and puts it around her neck. And she says, what happens if I break up with you? What will happen if I leave you?
I thought you were going to say, why'd Allah cry? Why does he have such tears?
Why was he so upset? And as she asks this question, like, what happens if I leave you? Because remember, there's the piano. Largo sort of sits down next to the piano, and you hear just like, doo-doo, like discordant notes.
That's pretty funny.
It's great. And then he says, well, if you leave, I'll cut your throat.
Whoa.
And then he leaves.
What a
and so
fun,
it's this thing of like
flirty little guy. He's so flirty.
I know. He's a flirty guy. So now we are introduced to Q. This Q is like this goofy cockney motherfucker. and so we don't get a lot of Q inventions, but we do get one. You might even see it later in the movie. So I don't know if this is a spoiler, but this is yet another segment of
What's Q? Making.
Inventing.
Damn it.
Yeah, I don't know. Either way. So here's what 007 says in reference to the invention. Huh. He says, wow, you can write a very binding contract with this.
Okay, I know this one because it's a pen that explodes. Or like
yes,
shoots
okay,
a bullet
so
or
this is it explodes, it shoots like explosives out of the end of it. Yes, okay, so there you
that
go. That is what's
Q inventing.
Inventing, yeah.
We're gonna go with inventing because he's inventing things.
Yeah, well, yeah.
This is
we're gonna change it every time.
Yeah, there's no patent pending on any of these. Like, he's making his own thing.
Much like Q's inventions, there's no patent.
Yeah.
So Q, you know, there's this big moment where the two of them are talking about the pen. They're talking about, you know, like, all the stuff that he's invented. And then Q's like this kind of, like I said, he's like this, like, cockney, like, weird motherfucker. And he's talking to 007. And he says, now that you're on this, I sure hope there's some gratuitous sex and violence. And then Sean Connery says, I hope so, too. It's a great moment. And it really feels like the both of them are like looking at the audience like, don't you guys kind of hope that this happens as well?
Yeah. You guys know what this movie's about, right?
Yeah. So Bond goes to the Bahamas where he meets. I wonder if you see this guy in your half of the movie. He meets a man named Nigel Smallfawcett, which is such a good name. Do you know Nigel Smallfawcett?
He does appear in my half of the movie for a little second.
Do you know
Mr. Bean, dude?
It's Mr. Bean, motherfucker.
You know, it's
Rowan
funny.
Atkinson.
I never heard his
movie.
Name, but I know exactly what you're talking about with that name. Like, that name fits his character. Smallfawcett.
I love how his name is literally like British name Small Dick. I love it. So yeah, Mr. Bean shows up. He's from the British embassy, and he's just supposed to be like a weird dude who's never worked in the field before. Totally blows 007's cover, and he's just like, I want to help you, Mr. Bond. I want to help you with anything I can. I'm here stationed here in the Bahamas, you know, at the British embassy. I want to do whatever I can. And Bond's like, okay, try to find out where Largo's boat is. Okay. You know, Nigel says Largo's boat is called the Flying Saucer. Largo's a very charming guy. He donates money to worthy causes. And so he's just like, I need you to focus on where the boat is stationed and where it's going. That's all I need you to do, Nigel. And Nigel's like, I'm on it, sir. And he rushes off. So Bond, while waiting for Nigel to report back, he goes drinks at like...
Sorry, I was going to interrupt you, but it's funny that Rowan Atkinson also played Johnny English, which is a parody.
Johnny English. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I was thinking exactly. How many people in our audience have heard of Johnny English?
I don't. You know what? Probably a fair amount, to be honest.
Yeah, probably. With our audience,
we got some sickos.
We
out have there, probably. You know?
We have some English heads. They've seen both Johnny English movies.
There's two. I only thought there was one.
There's two. Johnny English Returns. I want to say. Yeah. I never saw it. I only saw the first one in theaters.
Never say English again.
So Bond's hanging out at the beach at a beachside bar, and suddenly we are introduced. He is introduced to Fatima, or she introduces herself as Fatima Blush is her name, and he doesn't know that she's evil. Of course, he only knows that she's sexy, and so she offers to show him the waters, and he's just like, all right, I'll fucking go check out the waters. So they are on a boat headed to some kind of reef. He's just like along for the ride, man. He's just like, yeah, let's fucking go. And she's just like, it's going to take us a while to get to the reef that we're headed to. So what should we do? And so there's this fucking goofy montage of the two of them banging in the boat.
Yeah.
And the boat is like on a water, and so it cuts from them banging like in a porthole, so you can see them like having sex through the porthole, and then it cuts to like fish under the water, and then it cuts back to them banging through a porthole. And there's this one really great bit because it's on water, obviously, so the boat's like sort of swaying back and forth, and you see them just sort of like going back and forth on the boat, and then at one point they like slide on the other side of the boat as they're like having sex, and then a hard cuts to them falling into the water with scuba gear. And I'm like, this is, this is kind of a cool, like, concept. Interesting way of, like, showing a scene like this. It doesn't just have to be, like, a scene where the two of them climb on top of each other and then, you know, they play romantic music and, like, cut away.
Off,
like, you can do something with a scene like this, yeah. So they go swimming, and while they're swimming, she attaches some kind of, like, electronic tracker to him without him realizing. And then they swim into a sunken ship under the water. So they go into the sunken ship, and then as he's like exploring the ship, she swims away, turns the tracker on, and then all of a sudden this shark swims up, and the shark has like a mechanical antenna attached to it. So it is like, it is heading towards Sean Connery, who has a tracker on it, and it just starts chasing him.
Wild.
It is goofy. However, this scene rocks because there's like, I know it's probably like a stuntman, but like there's some crazy scenes with a stuntman and a shark under the water. Like, for instance, because he's in a sunken ship, he's like trying to like close all these doors on the, you know, in front of the shark, and the shark keeps like breaking through windows. And then at one point he closes the door and the shark like its nose like winds up breaking in between the door, and you see like the guy trying to like close the door on the shark. I'm like, how do they get some of these shots? It was fucking crazy.
Huh.
Truly nuts. Figuring out that the shark has antenna on it. He drops like a mast from the sunken ship on top of the shark, destroying the antenna. And he removes the tracker from himself. He's all good now. He can now escape the sharks. The sharks aren't attracted to him anymore. But he doesn't know where Fatima went. He's in the middle of the ocean. Doesn't know how to get back. There's no means of getting back. Huh. And so we then cut to this one woman who earlier on was sort of flirting with 007. She's fishing. And then all of a sudden, 007 pops up out of the water. And she's just like, ooh, a man. And she's just like, look what I've caught. And so she ends up taking it back to the mainland in her boat. And it's so funny because we then cut to Fatima and she's like dancing. She's just like having a fucking good time. She's like, I fucking did it. I fucking killed 007. This shit fucking rocks. And then she like turns around, spins around and sees him perfectly fine on the ship with this woman. And she's just like, fuck. Like, she's like, God fucking damn it. Like, I can't believe he's fucking still alive. So she's like, I gotta fucking nip this in the bud. So she goes to where 007 is staying in the Bahamas, into his hotel room, puts fucking C4 plastic explosives under his bed, and then waits in the lobby for him to arrive, and sort of like keeps track of him to make sure that he goes to his room so she can blow him up. So he does arrive at the hotel with this woman that helped him, that fished him out of the water, and they end up going to bed together, and they're banging on the bed.
What's this lady's name?
And then we don't know her.
Okay.
She's just a lady.
Okay.
She doesn't have a family. She doesn't have a husband, as far as we know, probably. You know, we don't know anything about her life.
Okay.
We don't know her name. We don't know her job. You know, we know nothing of this woman. Mm. Okay.
Got it.
Yeah. But we know one thing. That she is very attracted to 007.
That's all you need, baby. That's all you need in a backstory.
All you need. So they end up going to bed together. They're sleeping together. And, you know, we keep cutting back to them on top of the bed and the plastic explosives at the bottom of the bed. And then, you know, Fatima's there and she presses the button and the hotel room fucking explodes. And we realize this woman was staying in the same hotel and they went to her room rather than 007's room. And so they look outside the window and they see 007's room exploding. And he's just like, well, I guess we made the right choice. And she says, what choice was that? And he says, yours or mine. And then they just keep banging. Damn. And then he gets a call from Mr. Bean, from Nigel. And Nigel's like, oh, hey, you know, we know where the flying saucer is headed to. It's going to the south of France. And so that's where Bond's going next. He's going to go to the south of France.
Okay.
So he arrives in the south of France. He's with another agent whose name is Nicole. Her number is 326. She's like this French woman. Do you know her?
Yeah, no, I know her.
Okay. And then we're also introduced to Felix. Felix is there in the south of France. Do you meet Felix?
I do meet Felix. Felix is a cool dude.
He's played by a cool black guy. And I'm like, yeah, this is a cool idea. What the fuck? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I was like, this is cool. Like, I'm like, these little things that this movie's doing, I'm like,
he's also really charismatic. Like, he's also very charismatic.
He's incredibly charismatic. He's so fucking charming. Like, at one point, like, James Bond pulls, like, the explosive pen out, and Felix is like, oh, yeah, Q made me one of them. It fucking blew up my face.
See? Love that.
I love this fucking guy. So, 007 is following Domino while in the south of France, and follows her into a sauna, like a spa.
Mm-hmm.
And he poses, like, as a masseuse. He's not very good at massaging, in my opinion, from what I can see. But he starts using terminology that he learned from the chiropractor earlier in the movie.
Oh,
he's just like,
funny.
Oh yeah, your spine is this. And I'm like, this is what I'm fucking talking about. This is good writing. Like, that shit earlier that didn't seem to like really do anything other than just be about him, you know, like possibly banging a chiropractor, comes into play later. Like, I don't know, man. Like, this is the kind of magic I've been missing from these 007 movies. So he's massaging Domino. Domino lets it drop that there's a benefit that Largo is doing at a casino for children. Now, what she means is that the benefit is for children and it is being held at a casino. However, the way that she says it, it makes it sound like Largo is doing a benefit to make a casino for children. Which doesn't, it's really like funny. Oh, what a nice guy. So this is the only scene I think that is like questionable, because she's under the impression that he is a masseuse. And then at one point he ends up leaving and the actual masseuse comes in and she's just like, what happened to the male masseur or whatever, I guess. And the lady's like, oh, he didn't work here. And there is like a level of like, well, that's fucking creepy. It's just a man had his hands all over me, like grabbing my ass. But then, of course, because he's 007 and charming, she sort of just goes, huh. What a crazy guy. So
nothing bad happened, I guess, but that's weird.
No. Yeah. So then he attends the casino. It is the Casino Royale James Bond beats up a security guy, takes his gun, and makes him hold an object that, if it moves, will explode. That's what he tells the guy. So that's how he's able to break into.
Okay.
Yeah. So this comes into play later, I figured. What's her name? Fatima is there. Sees James Bond, and Nicole drops James Bond off there, and then Bond sees Domino and follows her through the casino, and that is the end of my half of the movie.
Interesting. Okay, so my half starts off with one shot of Bond. It's like a one-shot take of Bond following a blonde lady. And that's the first... Immediately, I'm like, ooh, we're fucking filmmaking over here. We're making a film. Like, it's hard to describe, but it's something about the pacing of it. Feels more deliberate,
yeah.
And like they're taking their time, but like it's so weird just trying to describe like filmmaking, like what is good filmmaking, what is good composition, things like that, because especially in a podcast form, but there's just something about the way the camera is placed, something about how long the shots are held, how long, like the way the editing is done, that really feels like a step up, just in terms of like capturing your attention, because nothing particular. Crazy is happening. It's just Bond like following a blonde lady. Like that happens thousands of times in tons of different movies in this Bond franchise. But something about the way it's shot is really captivating. What were you gonna say?
I saw a little bit of this scene, and I think what it is too is there's a sense of dimension to this shot where it's like she's further back in the background, but she's also wearing like a white dress, so it's very easy to like watch her, and then Bond's like in the foreground, and then in between them are not just like people but like rows of like pillars and stuff, so there's it's a very like dynamic shot, and because it's just like one long tracking shot as you're following him, it is like it almost feels like you're James Bond in this moment following this person and hoping that like they don't turn around and see you. Like I agree, there is like a sense of like gusto or like something in this scene that like in any other James Bond movie it would have probably just been like a very leering shot of like a woman, you know, showing off her body, and like it would not have been as dynamic as this.
Yeah.
And Kirshner, man, he goes above and beyond, and it works.
Yeah,
it really works.
Yeah, that's crazy. So she goes to an arcade, and there's another lady watching. I don't know who it is. Obviously it's Fatima, I understand later. And then Bond appears, talks to
an arcade.
Yeah, it's like an arcade. There's like arcade machines and stuff. Yeah, it's...
Oh, interesting.
Okay, so I know you're, like, talking this movie up. There's some shit that I feel is a little goofy in my hat, but we'll get to it. But there's a lot of good stuff, too. But I do think it kind of evens out into, like, kind of an okay... Anyway, so he comes up and says, I owe you an explanation. My name's Bond. James Bond. You know, and you're like, that's where the audience stands up and goes, yeah, he's back, baby. He's back. That's my Sean Connery.
They point at the screen.
They scream.
They're like, he said it. He said the thing. Yeah.
So they go to like a little bar. It's like next to the arcade. I mean, it's just a bar in the same building. And he's like, hard or soft? And she says, soft, and orders a Bloody Mary, which I've never heard the term harder. Like, obviously, I know about hard drinks. But I did. Yeah. I thought like. Maybe you mean soft drink, like literally like a soda or something.
Yeah, maybe.
But then he says, after she orders that, I hate to see what you think is hard. that's pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
And then we see a shot of Largo and Fatima talking. And Largo sees that his lady is getting talked up to by James Bond and says, like, could you actually believe I could lose a woman to an underpaid British agent? He's like, you also bungled a lot of attempts of killing him, so I don't know if I'm going to give you another chance. I'm going to try myself. So then Bond asks Domino, like, where's your brother? But Domino doesn't really trust him yet. And so she kind of just, like, looks at the questions, like, I don't know. But then Largo appears and is like, hey, Bond, are you a guy who likes to play games? And he's like, I guess. And he's like, I have a game. I designed it myself. And then we're taken to this, like, he takes him and Domino to this, like, separate room. And basically it's like an arcade, giant arcade version of like Battleship in some ways, where there's two screens, they're like highlighted, they got like kind of like projection mapping on them, and they got like little controls in front of them. And he's like, I've designed it myself, but I'm so good at it, I haven't found a worthy adversary. And I'm like, yeah, man, ask this 60-year-old man, like, you want to play some video games? And so they're like, Domino, watch me play this man. We'll bet some money on it. And so she sits
on a video game.
He sets Domino down, and she just has to watch them play while a couple other people gather around. And I'm just like, this is weird.
This is basically just Twitch.com.
Yeah,
nowadays.
Right? Hey, ma'am, just sit here and watch this. So then
he
says, so the game works like this. We fight for countries randomly chosen by machines. Oh, the game's called Domination, by the way. Which is funny because it's similar to Domino, I guess.
Domino, yeah.
Anyway, so then he says areas will light up and then you shoot at them with lasers. You have nuclear missiles and you also have a shield for nuclear missiles. And then you can press the button to stop. If I shoot a nuclear missile at you, you can stop it, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, let's play. And the first one it chooses is Spain. They fight over it. Mr. Largo wins and Bond gets a little shock on the controls. He's holding the controls and goes, ah, that kind of hurt.
Oh, if you lose, you get
shocked.
Yeah,
and he says, oh, yes, I forgot. Unlike armchair generals, we will endure the pain of our soldiers. Bond's like, okay, thanks for telling me that, I guess.
Yeah, thanks for letting me know.
The next one is Japan. So they do it. Bond loses again and gets shocked even more. And he's like, ah. And then he says, oh, did I forget? Perhaps I didn't explain. As the stakes increase, the level of pain does as well. And so they play again. This time it's for the U.S. And, you know, he starts playing and Bond is, of course, losing because, you know, he made this game. Largo made this game.
Largo made the game, yeah. So he knows it.
He knows it. And they start saying, like, danger, pain level increasing 50%, 65%, and Bond's holding on. And it says 80%. And then Bond just goes, ah, and he falls over. And Domino's, like, upset. God. She's like, Max, why are you doing this? But Largo's like, oh, I think we should stop the game because it seems like I'm winning and I don't want to kill you. So why don't you pay me a bunch of money that we started betting over? And then Bond just goes on the floor. He's just like, can we play one more game for the rest of the world? And Largo's like, you know what that could mean, right? And he's like, that's fine. So they play it for the whole world. It's very crazy that Bond knew that was an option you could choose. He explains, like, we choose a random country. He's like, no, I want the whole world map. He's like, I got that programmed. Let's go. So they start playing, and now somehow Bond is winning, I guess. And
Largo
keeps shooting missiles, like nuclear missiles at him. He blocks all of them. And now the pain level's at 85% for Largo, and Largo eventually just gives up. And he loses $267 million, and he's about ready to write a check for Bond, but Bond's like, I'll settle for one dance with Domino. And he's like, okay.
I love this thing of, like, 007's not only, like, good at, like, seducing women, drinking martinis, and gambling. He's also good at video
games.
He's
a gamer, dude.
He's a gamer.
It was very silly. This is why I was like...
It is incredibly silly.
I was like, I don't know about this one, y'all. Anyway, so they start tangoing in the middle of the dance floor in this huge casino. Everyone's watching. And he starts dropping details. He's like, okay, just let you know, like, I want to know more about your brother. I know he worked for Largo, and he's like, how do you know? She's like, how do you know all this? He's like, well, I want to let you know your brother is dead and Largo did it. And he's like, act like nothing's wrong. And she's got this face of like, what the fuck? This is crazy.
What an insane thing to tell someone.
Yeah. They drop it and they keep dancing and they're like, we think Largo did it. Not 100% sure. And then Largo's talking to, Fatima and is like, all right, you can have another chance to kill Bond. And she is so excited at this. She lets her hair down, runs down these steps in this dress that looks, I gotta say, it looks like a garbage bag dress. Like they made it out of a garbage bag. It looks good. Like it's tailored well. It's just the material's
just looks like a garbage bag.
Very garbage looking.
This is where you can see the budgetary restrictions.
We're gonna make a Bond femme fatale wear this garbage bag dress. It's very scary.
Yeah, exactly.
So she steps down the stairs, very excited. And then Largo interrupts the dance, the tango that they're having, and says, like, hey, Bond, let's have dinner tomorrow. You want to come to my boat? Domino will be there. And Domino's like, oh, I can't do that. It's not a good time. I have to pick up my brother Jack. And he's like, oh, I got news that he's been delayed again. So we're like 2 weeks. So you have time. And she's upset because this is corroborating the story that Bond is saying. That's just like, your brother's actually dead, even though he worked for him. So then we cut to Bond taking a case from a guy who's frozen in place. And I was like, what? And he just smokes. It's like a bunch of cigars and he lights up a cigar. And I was like, what is this? And I realized it's earlier the guy who said, like, hold this or it's going to explode. So he's done this.
Oh, yes.
The whole scene happened and they finally get it. And I was like, okay, that's weird. I don't understand it, but maybe it's funny.
Yeah, it's confusing.
So then, early morning, Bond arrives to some random house I don't recognize. But this is the first time where I'm like, oh, this movie is like really is cooking with the way it looks. Because this house is like really rich.
How so?
It's just the way it's framing this kind of like particularly somewhat interesting looking house. With like crazy etcher painting like stairs where the like stairs are like going up and it looks, I mean, it's an illusion of that, which is the way it looks. And this I literally wrote down, I love how this movie looks. It looks really good. It's a step up from like what we've seen in past movies.
Ethan saw a bunch of stairs and he's like, it's a step up.
Oh yeah. The pun writes itself. So then Bond hears someone. And after he takes his apple, he puts the apple down. And he pulls out a gun. He's like, this place isn't safe. And I'm like, maybe it's not. I don't know where we are. And he finds Nicole dead in the bathtub. And then he hears a lady laughing as she gets in a car and drives off. And then Bond unboxes a motorcycle and chases her down. I didn't know what country you're in. I thought it was like Italy, but France makes sense. The south of France makes sense.
Yeah, south of France.
There's a lot of tiny little streets and tiny little staircases, and you know, you're driving cars and stuff.
How was Nicole like killed? Was she just like murdered? Like, that's pretty much it.
She was face down in the bathtub, so I don't really know. You know, they got shot.
Oh,
her.
Nicole, we hardly knew you.
I know nothing about her.
So
then Bond is chasing her, but then this is actually a really cool like chase sequence because he actually does this like cool slide under like a tanker truck and then like gets back up and then keeps driving on his motorcycle. And it's really well shot. It kind of reminded me a lot of how kind of future action movies kind of ended up being. Like, this feels like a very Bourne Identity like chase sequence or something like that.
Of like a person like chasing someone.
Yeah, kind of like that. And it was just fascinating that he was driving and chasing her, and then eventually he realizes that other people are starting to chase him, and she was just a trap to get him out on a motorcycle. So they start trying to kind of box him into an area, and he eventually goes into a tunnel and gets trapped by a big cargo, like a cargo, a big semi with a cargo container on the back. And they kind of corral him to drive into there. And it looks like he's kind of like stuck. Like he's just kind of spinning around, doesn't know where to go. And I'm like, this is like what I felt like in the older Bond movies. Like this is something I haven't felt in a while where I'm like, damn, how is 007 actually going to get out of this one? You know, like this is something I hadn't felt in a while. And I forgot what that feeling was.
And I feel like maybe this is another thing. I feel like Connery is absolutely also someone that like is able to have that sense of like, I am now no longer in control. Like you can kind of sense it from his performance as well. Like he adds to, I think, that, you know, like this isn't a Roger Moore where he's like, I'm a Superman, I'm a smarmy dude who like gets away with everything. It's like Connery seems genuinely, he can come across as genuinely concerned when stuff like this goes down.
There's something about Roger Moore's performance that makes it feel kind of like he just stumbles through things and successfully gets out.
Yeah.
This one feels like he has to actually think about what he's doing before he gets out. And he actually does feel scared.
Yeah, exactly.
So he gets into the cargo container and they're like, all right, shut him up. And, you know, Fatima's very excited about like the prospect of capturing Bond. But then they start raising the like container ramp up and then Connery just like boosts it and drives over all the cars using that little ramp that they were trying to pull up.
Oh, and that's awesome.
He starts driving, trying to escape. Cars are chasing him. He has like a little rocket boost on his car that he uses to like jump over another car in front of him. And the two cars crash and it looks pretty cool. It's like a really legitimately cool crash scene. And then he goes underground and he gets trapped again and gets knocked off of his motorcycle over. And Fatima's there. And she pulls out a gun on him and is like, all right, drop your gun and spread your legs. He drops his gun, spreads his legs. And she says, like, "You're quite the man, Mr. James Bond. You know that making love to Fatima was the best moment of your life." And he's like, "Well, there was a girl in Philadelphia." And she says, "Shut up." And he says, "You're right. I was going to put you number one in my memoirs." So she throws him a piece of paper and says, "Write this." And I didn't quite understand the way she read it, but reading it back, I was like, "Oh, okay. I think I get what she's saying." But she says, "The greatest rapture of my life was afforded to me on a boat in Nassau by Fatima Blush, signed James Bond 007. And I thought this was like a really long title where like the greatest rapture of my life was afforded to me by a boat in Nassau by Fatima Blush. Like she was like writing it and then he signed it. And I'm like, what is going on? But then I realized she's just basically like, "I want him to say I nutted real good in Nassau by Fatima Blush." So he's about ready to write it. And then he looks up and says, "I just remembered it's against company policy to give endorsements." And she says, "Shut up, write it." And he's like, "All right." So he starts writing it. And he looks up and he pulls out his pen and he fucking shoots her with it. And he dodges out of the way because she shoots him. He doesn't get hit. Mm. And she gets hit with it. She goes, "Ah." Oh. And she looks down. She's like, starts laughing like, "This isn't fucking killing me. I'm about to shoot you." And she re-aims her gun. And then she fucking explodes. Completely blows up.
What?
And Bond looks at his pen and says, "Huh, not perfected yet." and then I was like, is that what it's supposed to do? Like, was it supposed to blow up something? I think it was just supposed to shoot
it someone. It's supposed to just be like some kind of like weird missile that like shoots at something and then it immediately blows up. But
I guess I
don't know why it like delayed. Yeah, I don't know. It's very strange.
And then I said some guy appears. Yeah. It's Felix. And he's like, "Good job, James." And he's like, "How long have you been there?" He's like, "I've been here long enough to see how you handled the lady. Good job." And then
I love it. I love Felix didn't do shit.
I know. Well, also they escape and Bond is on like a little bicycle. He's kind of dressed like your standard French guy with like, you know, white tank top on, like white shorts, just
of course kinda, a beret,
kind of going almost he might as well be wearing a beret. He's just like biking out and then he's followed by Felix, who's just like shadow boxing, and then they just escape by looking normal from all the other people who are trying to capture him.
Dude, that rocks.
It was pretty funny. So then Bond goes to an underwater boat, which I believe is the boat that he was trying to find. That was it, the flying saucer. And he breaks into it, but they're expecting him, which is very strange. Felix leaves as well.
That is odd. Well, you know, I guess you got to expect the unexpected when you're around Mr. Bond.
And Mr. Largo's waiting for you. He says, "Can I have a vodka martini?" He's introduced to, like, you know, Max has all these people. Mr. Largo has all these people working on his boat, enough to run a small government. He's like, even a large government. And I'm like, I don't know what all these people are doing here. What is this guy supposed to do normally? Like, I don't know really what Mr. Largo makes his money off of. And maybe you told me, but
it doesn't really mention. They just mention he's like a cool, like, philanthropist, but they don't mention like what he does for an actual, like, I think it's like because he donates so much money to people, no one really asks questions. Mm. Maybe it's just that he works with Spectre. Like, that might just be.
Yeah, he might be funded by Spectre. So he's like, "Well, you have free run on my ship. I'm going to go attend to some business." And he walks around and Bond's walking around and then Domino spots him and says, hey, I got to talk to you." And then he gets pulled away into his room because he actually has to get some fresh clothes. And he starts talking to Domino in that same studio where she jazzercises. And he's like, "Why are you here?"
Oh.
But Bond is suspicious. He's like, let's not talk about this too much. And he starts putting on music. So, Mr. Largo starts spying on them through the two-way mirror that you were mentioning earlier. But he can't hear anything. He can't hear it well anyway because there's music playing. And he says, like, "Do the tears of Allah mean anything to you?" He says to Domino. And the reason they say this is because during the time when he was watching all those kind of workers in the little work area working, it's flash Tears of Allah on the screen. He's like, this seems important. Maybe it does. And he says, "We're going to North Africa. That's where we're going." He's like, "Oh, I remember why we're going to North Africa." And
these guys are like globetrotting. Jesus Christ.
Really? Really? It's like, "I need to transmit a message out of here and I got to find a way to get out of here. But first I'm going to kiss you, Domino. And I want you to pretend that you like it." And he's like, "Two reasons for this." She's like, "What are the reasons?" He says, "First, I want a reaction out of Mr. Largo, because I'm pretty sure he's watching us."
Two? I want to kiss.
Two was I always wanted to. So yeah, you're basically right.
Yeah, that's what I fucking do.
So he does do it, and Largo does react. He actually leaves his spot and busts into the jazz studio, but they're already gone at that point. Domino turns on a fire alarm so that Bond gives Bond enough time to go into the database and search for Tears of Allah and peek at all the computers. And then Bond sits where Mr. Largo was just a few moments ago in that same spying booth and sees Mr. Largo being upset and smashing glass inside the Jazzercise studio. And then he eventually the music turns off because he breaks the fucking stereo and he realizes there's a little alarm going off, a false fire alarm that was pulled. And he's like, oh, Bond's sneaking around. So then he sends off a code to MI6.
Like henchmen?
It says like Tango Zebra. And you know, I always see M and I think Moneypenny. I don't know. But they're like, oh, it sounds like Bond's
probably
going to
Probably. If it's some older looking woman at MI6, it's probably Moneypenny.
They say, oh, we're going to North Africa, Bond is. I guess we'll keep an eye on him. So now, you know, we know he has a little bit of support. So then we see a fort where Margot says, you know, this is my favorite fort. This is where I escape and view all my treasures. And then he looks at Domino and says, how do you like your new home, my princess? And then he says, the game is up, Bond. I know who you are. I'm going to send you away. And he locks him up and then basically threatens Domino in a really creepy way. And it's just like, oh, well, you can take this precious statue, this precious thing. And he gives us this huge like jade statue and says, this is priceless. It's your think of it as our wedding present. And she's like, what about my brother? And he just kind of smiles and like doesn't really say anything. She's like, I hate you. I hate you. Because now at this point, she fully realizes that he's, you know,
she knows. Her. Yeah, she realizes it. Yeah.
And then he forcibly kisses her and she drops the fucking the priceless statue. And then she starts yelling, you're crazy. And he goes, yeah, maybe I am. And then he kind of walks away whistling because he's a crazy. He's fully unlocked his crazy potential at this point.
Yep, he's not even trying anymore. No. I do like the guy that plays Largo. He is like genuinely unnerving.
He is genuinely unnerving. Yeah, he's got a creepy little face and a little vibe going for him.
Yeah.
And then he covers her up and basically like kind of like this whole black cloth that kind of covers her face, covers her body, and ties her up outside. And I'm like, I wonder what he's going to do. And then he goes and taunts Bond in the prison, says, nice view you have here. And you'll see it later, I'm sure. And you can look outside and see that Domino's tied up to basically a giant pole. And we don't know what's going to happen to her. But Bond is in a prison with a bunch of vultures and skeletons. There's literally vultures trapped inside. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And at this point,
skeletons and vultures.
I know. Largo's like, every game has to have a winner, doesn't it? And it seems like I've won. And then Bond's like, all right, well, if you won, then in that case, where did you hide the bombs? And he says, well, I got to tell you a little bit, but number one is right under the president's feet. I already have it there. It's ready to go off. And he's like, what about number two? He says, I'm not going to tell you that one. And he walks away.
Nice.
So then Largo gets a boombox, taunts Domino by playing the tango music that she was dancing with Bond with earlier.
Bond too.
It's kind of like a, you're mine, haha, I control you. You know, that doesn't mean he's not going to come save you implication.
Right.
And Bond
shouldn't have done this.
Yeah. Bond, of course, has a laser on his watch. And he uses that to break free of the chains he has in the prison. And he sees Domino basically being sold to like pirates or something, some sort of bad guys, I guess. And they like take her clothes. They take her clothes. I don't know. They're like, I don't know. They're bad guys. They're just general bad guys of the area. And they take take the black clothes off and reveal how sexy she is. And they're all like, woo! And some guys like brought a bunch of gold and they're like trying to buy her or whatever. And Bond's like, oh, okay, well, I got to get out of here. So he basically like you hear vulture noises from the outside and a guard goes to check in. And you see that there's a big hole in the kind of window that used to be like metal bars in front of it to keep Bond in and the vultures in. And the vultures make a noise. They're excited. Mm-hmm. They're like flying out and stuff. And this guy goes and looks out the window like, what the hell? And Bond just grabs him and throws him like all the way down the big fort. And he, you know, I assume he dies, but it's a very cool little scene. Probably. The way it's directed is, it's all those things are like you mentioned earlier. It's like, this just sounds like typical Bond shit, but the way it's directed is very, very fun and entertaining.
It's like he's found interesting ways of like choreographing and like composing this kind of action in a way that is like effective. It's not flat.
Exactly. So then Bond goes down to where these guys are trying to buy Domino, and there's a guy on a horse, and he just takes the horse reins from the guy and then like flips the horse. He like doesn't legitimately flip the horse, but enough to like knock the horse over and knock the guy off. And he takes the horse and then goes and rescues Domino. And
that's awesome.
Everyone gets upset and all these guys start trying to shoot at him. But then they realize Domino's on there too. So they're like, no, I want to buy her still.
So they don't want to shoot.
Yeah. So the guys like kind of fight. And then the way he escapes is crazy. He rides to the end of the fort, and obviously it's like by water. He takes the horse and Domino, and he's like, trust me. And he just rides the horse and jumps off the fort. And the horse is like a crate. They literally get a horse to fly into the water. And
whoa!
It flips, and you see a horse fall, and I'm like, oh my God. And they escape. Because now at this point, a sub appears and starts shooting missiles at the fort, but it's the U.S. Navy coming to save them. And Felix,
the amount of like animal abuse in this movie is truly crazy.
I know.
This horse, the sharks,
right?
Like, holy fuck!
But they
dude.
Do show yeah. they do have the horse. He's just swimming away. He's fine. The horse is good. They live. Yeah.
Sure. Probably didn't enjoy it.
Probably didn't
fine.
Enjoy it, but he's fine. So then, Felix goes and rescues him. They go to the sub, and then Bond is showering with Domino. And he says, ooh, it was never like this when I was in the Navy. And she's like, you're going to go after Largo, huh? He's like, I have to. It's part of my duty. She's like, I want to go after him too, but I don't want to risk losing you. And he says, I don't want to risk losing me either. And then they kiss. And while they're kissing, M like fucking barges in on a message. Like, he's not physically there, but like over the radio.
Sure, sure, sure.
And says, we've cracked the code. We found the bomb for the president. We disarmed it, but we only have 5 hours to get the second bomb, which I'm like, how do they know they have 5 hours? Whatever.
Also, like, kind of lame that they off screen found the bomb, disarmed it. Like, we didn't get any of that drama.
Nope.
Yeah,
they're just like, whatever, get through it. We have a second bomb we have to worry about. And he says, if you get through unscathed, you get I'll give you lunch at my club, Bond. He's like, oh, cool. But
I love lunch.
He looks at Domino and says, I may have other plans, though, if I do get through this. And so they go and check the yacht. They find the yacht where he was, Largo's yacht, and there's no one on board. And then they realize, they're like, hey, Domino, can you give me that necklace? And they look at it, and he says, oh, the necklace is actually a little map of the exact same island where they see that Largo has swum off to. And he says, like, tears of Allah, legend says Allah cried, and he created a spring, like a never-ending spring where it was. So we have to find that. And they look
That's where they're headed.
Yeah, and they look at the little map, and it's right where the oil fields begin that, I guess, Largo owns or something. They don't really explain.
This is just like Rise of Skywalker.
Rise of Skywalker, where they have the doohickey, the MacGuffin, basically.
The doohickey that they can look through,
to find the secret base of millions of Star Destroyers. Anyway, so they track the underwater divers that are going there, and they send Bond and Felix in there. But Bond's like, do you have the XT-7Bs on board? He says to the general, and the general's like, how do you know about those? They're top secret. And he's like, oh, I read those in like a translated Russian document. Sorry. And he's like, And so then these two torpedoes, I guess they're more missiles, launch from the submarine into the air, and they break apart, and they're two jetpacks that Bond and Felix are in, and they're flying over this little village with a Oh, what? You don't like this, Mike? You don't like the jetpack?
That sounds fucking
There's
crazy.
No, as much as we praise this guy for making like really silly things seem cool, this is still pretty cheesy.
This is not one of them.
It's kind
of
hard.
Well, it's also hysterical because this is not the first, like in Thunderball, this happened as well with the, not the missiles, but the whatchamacallit, the jetpack. Yeah, exactly. That's just goofy.
Anyway,
so
they land in a spot over this like village, and they dive into the water. And we see the bad guys. They arrive with vessels in this cave with like a bomb strapped to kind of like a submarine device. And they're kind of like using a track to drag stuff into it. It's this big cave. And Felix and Bond walk in there. And it basically looks like an Indiana Jones temple. It has like a bunch of carvings in the rocks. There's a big kind of large door that's maybe like 20 feet tall and, you know, like 10 feet wide, like massive. And Bond sneaks in. He's like, I gotta go in there and see what they're doing. Cover me, Felix. And he's like, all right, I'll cover you. I'll watch if anything happens. So we cut to people. Now we cut to what they're watching from another view, and it's Blofeld. We see him and his cat, and I'm like, oh shit, Blofeld's here. Mm. And he's like, yes, nothing can stop us now. And I'm like, oh, okay. So
he's petting his little cat.
Basically that.
Yeah.
And they arrive at the legendary Tears of Allah, and it's just big, kind of like beautiful looking oasis of water. And in this kind of temple area, and Largo takes a drink of the water and says, ah, it tastes like money. And then Bond is at the top of this temple thing, and he starts dropping rocks on people, and then he starts shooting them, and Felix starts shooting them, and Felix, a bunch of backup people arrive, like, don't pull out like big grenades or anything yet. Bond's still in there. Well, we gotta fucking have a shootout. So they're all shooting, and it turns into like a little battle.
Right.
Not the most impressive like Bond shootout with Sean Connery, but it's all right. It's well shot for the size of it.
It's fine.
During that time, they arm the bomb and they put it into the pool of the Tears of Allah, and Largo swims in and tries to put it deep in there. I don't really know why they're trying to blow this up. I don't really know what the consequence is, except maybe to destroy the oil fields or something, and the like. I guess
I wish they could have like established that a bit better.
Yeah,
maybe.
I was trying to like think about it and watch it again, and I was like, I'm not really sure what their plan is here. I think it probably is to disable a huge point of the oil fields and maybe blow them all up. And then maybe that will destabilize the economy.
This 007 is eco-friendly.
Maybe so. Yeah. Well, he's saving the oil fields. So maybe
he's
not.
Saving the oil fields. Yeah. No. I think what it was, if I remember correctly, Blofeld said that if they did not deliver the $25 billion or whatever it was, that he was going to take away their means of production for oil. Like, I think that's what
it was. Okay,
he would own. Yeah, so that's, I believe, the reason he's doing this.
Okay.
That was like what he was holding against them.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
So, but they kind of let off like a mini bomb, and it explodes and kind of locks Largo in this kind of like underwater place that Bond was going to follow him in. And Bond's like, ugh, all right, I can't get this way. So he goes back to Felix, and he says, hey, I'm going to try the oasis outside. And he's like, all right. And Felix is like, let him rip, Bond's out of there. And they start like shooting grenades and everything at these at Blofeld's men. Not Blofeld. Well, I guess it is Blofeld's men, yeah.
It's kind of, yeah.
Outside, Bond rides like a harness on the bottom of a helicopter and gets dropped into the earlier village oasis we saw. There's a well that they had, and he gets dropped in there.
Right.
And he starts swimming around, and he pretty quickly like finds the bomb and fights underwater with Largo. They have like a little fight. He pulls out a knife, tries to kill him. But it is funny because it feels like a payload map from like Team Fortress 2, where it's like he's trying to push it and then he gets attacked and he's like, no, I'm going to keep pushing it. And it's on like a little propeller. So it's like kind of moving. Bond jams one of the propellers on the bomb submarine, and Largo can't really seem to fix it. Bond tries to disarm it while Largo is kind of like stuck underneath the submarine. But then Largo finally gets a gun and he's about to shoot Bond. But then you see a freaking harpoon hit him in the chest.
This is exactly what happened in Thunderball.
And who
this
shot
was
the
Domino.
Yeah, who shot the harpoon was Domino. Yep. She was under
it was
there.
Domino from
like,
behind.
How did she get here? How is everyone here? I don't know. Bond disarms the bomb and everything's fine.
Yeah.
And we cut to a new Domino swimming in the water with a one-piece swimsuit. There's like a big tiger face on it. Very 80s. And Bond's chilling in a hot tub, and she brings him a fancy drink. And he's like, I always have a martini at 5. And he says, you'll never give up your old habits, huh, James? Even though the drink is not martini. And he's like, well, maybe that could change. And I realize there's a reference to him trying to eat better. When it's like, here's a sugary-ass drink instead. Which is definitely alcoholic. So then he hears someone breaking in. He's like, what the fuck? Bond like gets ready and is alarmed and grabs a guy that's been sneaking into the place and throws him in the pool. And it's Mr. Bean. And he's like, I'm sorry.
How shocked were you at this point?
I was very shocked. You know, there was a moment where I heard that Mr. Bean was in one of these movies. I didn't realize it was this one. And it was kind of a jump scare.
Yeah, I bet.
And he says, Mr. Bond, M sent me, as he's swimming in the pool. He says, without you in the service, he fears the civilized world will collapse. And he's like, I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to rejoin. And Domino comes up and says,
never,
never, never say never.
Never say never.
Never, never say never.
He winks at the camera and then it ends.
Perfect. Perfect film. I'm clapping my hands.
You're clapping your hands.
It's clapping my hands silently. Yeah, what'd you think?
It was all right. I mean, I think the ending is just so, like, I don't know. It felt very paint by the numbers. Just kind of like, we have to do this, huh? We have to end it this way.
It's weird how similar it is to the other one, even down to, like, Domino using a harpoon to kill Largo. Yeah. Like, it's very strange. Yeah.
But
I liked it a lot, though, man, as I've said a billion times before.
I think the direction definitely elevates it, for sure. But I think in the end, like, that whole last sequence of just, like, having Largo, like, bring a bomb in and this underwater fight. It's just, like, underwater fighting can only be so exciting. I do think it is fun, and I just think that I maybe got the lesser half, where they just kind of had to stick to the script more.
That's
true. And didn't do many fun spins on it. Like...
Yeah, I do kind of wish that Kushner had been given more opportunities to do other, like, stories that maybe had not been brought to screen already, you know? Because I feel like he could have, like, really added a level of humor and, like, I don't know, like, really messed with the concept. Like, even down to, like, you know how, like, in original, like, some of the Roger Moore ones, we were bringing up how, like, they always end with Bond with his lady, and then one of the henchmen is there, and then causes a big stir, and there's a big, like, last-minute fight sequence. This, like, threw that on its head. You think that there is, like, a henchman that's breaking into their house, and then ends up just being, like, fucking, like, Mr. Bean.
Yeah.
And he's just like, we need you to get back, you know? So, I don't know. I appreciate, like, even that level of, like... tongue in cheek, without like it's not doing like a
parody, right?
You know, like a casino or it's not a parody. Exactly. Yeah,
it's I think tongue in cheek is a perfect way to mention it, where it's like, we have kind of all these old references. It reminds me of, I mean, this has become so common nowadays, you know, with like the Dial of Destiny with like Indiana Jones, like an older actor coming to reprise their role of something and making a lot of references to it, and having all kind of the knowledge of the past franchise. But I think because there's such a wealth of James Bond movies that they can really hone in on like what is different, turn little things on its head, tropes that so far have come through. And I think they do a fairly good job with that. So I think that's why it's disappointing at the end, is just kind of like straightforward Bond kind of like disarming a bomb, doing the standard Bond stuff. It just, I don't know. It wasn't too interesting.
Definitely the, budgetary restrictions are pretty obvious as well. I feel
will
like that's
say that, but it was very.
Movie.
I say that car chase was really impressive. Like, especially if that was a small budget, I thought that was a really, really cool car chase. One of my favorite action scenes, probably for a while. I think that was like legitimately entertaining to watch and well shot.
Well, then, how many bullet holes would you give this one? Then
I give it 3.5.
I'm giving this a solid 4, baby. Ooh. I think this is the highest I've ever rated any of them. Almost five, but I kind of agree that I don't like how paint by the numbers the end is. Also, I love the kind of swings that these movies take, but I think that James Bond playing a video game is just a little bit too outside the range of it's very corny. I do love like the you know, the putting it on a set of like James Bond is in a casino. He's in a casino royale, and what is he doing in there? He's not gambling. He's playing a video game.
But he is gambling on a video game and him winning.
He is gambling on a video game. That is
true. It is just silly that
he's not playing cards, Baccarat.
It's just funny how he suddenly got good at it. I'm like, you've never played this game before.
I know.
It's not like you're like a pool shark who's just like, oh, actually, I'm good at this game. It's like, dude, this guy invented the game. He's literally, I guess the metaphor is that like Largo thinks he's in control and he has control of everything and he's invented the game, but like no one suspects Bond's adaptation to really foil his plans. I don't
mm-hmm.
know.
Yeah.
Fun.
I agree.
I have a fun little last fact about this movie, because we know it's called Never Say Never Again.
Never Say Never.
Which was actually a reference to how Connery said after filming Diamonds Are Forever, he's like, I would never play Bond again. And apparently, his wife suggested the title Never Say Never Again, referring to the vow. And the producers actually acknowledged her contribution by listing her in the end credits. That says, title Never Say Never Again by Micheline Connery. I think that's how I say her name. And that was it. It was just,
that's really cool.
Yeah, it was really funny that he was like, yeah, you know what, you go back to it, you make that money, but let's have a little tongue in cheek name, which I think really fits the theme of this film too, kind of like tongue in cheek, like he's back, look everyone, and it was better than I thought it would be. I thought this would be trash, you know. I thought this would be an awful movie.
Yeah. Well, the thing I was shocked by too, and this is, I think this is something we sort of mentioned in the beginning, is like it made more money than Octopussy.
Yeah, it did. It was a bigger
hit. Like was a success financially. Yeah. Which is not a surprise as far as like when like actually comparing them and watching it, but it is kind of a surprise where it's like one of them is made by like the Broccoli family, made by like the original, like, you know, go-to company. This was sort of like its scrappy little like twin, and people were like, they voted with their wallets, and they were like, yeah, that's the better version. That is a better version of a 007 movie.
Yeah, or maybe they just missed seeing Sean Connery. They're like, this Roger Moore guy is goofy as hell, you know?
I do wonder how much Connery was paid for this. Like, if it was a situation where it was also like, get that bag, boy. Like,
I think it was like $6 or $7 million, something like that. So, you know, sizable amount of money.
Not bad. Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Guys, what are your thoughts on this movie? Are we way off? Did you hate this movie? Is it the lesser of all of them? Email us. An email at theotherhalfpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're on Blue Sky. And we have a Discord. Check out Discord out in the show notes. And if you want to listen to any previous episodes, you can find them on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it on the show no matter what it says, even if it is a review that you have already written and you're just rewriting it with slightly different changes.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good choice. Please do that.
Thank you.
I have one other little fact about this movie. So, obviously, Sean Connery has to get back in shape. And you know what? He has a shirt off a couple times. He looks pretty good.
For his age?
For his age. He looks pretty good. Can you guess who trained him? Someone very well known in Hollywood.
Is it like Bruce Lee?
No. They can't get someone that cool.
Okay. I don't know. Is it someone who's still alive?
I think they're still alive. I have to double check. Yeah, they're still alive.
I don't know. Somebody has to be like youngish but oldish now. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Similar vibe, but no, I'll tell you, it's Steven Seagal. Steven Seagal trained him.
Oh no.
It's, I know. But here's a great little fact about Steven Seagal. He was a martial arts instructor for the film. Apparently, he broke Connery's wrist while training. And on an episode of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, Connery revealed he did not know his wrist was broken until over a decade later.
What the fuck? How did he not notice?
I don't know. I guess he must have been like, oh, you know, I got a long injury. I guess I'm going to hurt or whatever. And they didn't ever, like, maybe it healed at some point and then.
It, like, scabbed over, basically.
Yeah, it might have not healed the best it could have, but, like, it healed, and maybe they did an x-ray on him, and they're like, whoa, dude, you know you broke your wrist, right? And he's like, what?
He's the man now, dog.
He's the man now. You're totally right.
Yeah. And I'm assuming this is going to be the last we see of Connery.
Yes, it's the last we see of Connery. We have one more Roger Moore film left, which, actually, we didn't ask if we're going to continue watching, because we already, spoiler alert, we did watch the next one.
Yes,
but this is the last time we're seeing Sean Connery in the Bond role for sure. For realsies. For realsies.
So I think, guys, because remember, we are also trying to list all the Bonds by quality, which also includes Peter Sellers. You know, you guys keep listening to our episodes, see how we rate them all, and see where we land with Connery and Roger Moore.
But
we'll do that in a future episode.
But in the age of de-aging and AI reproductions of people, I know we're saying goodbye to Sean Connery again, but you know what? Never say never again. Maybe we'll see him.
Never say never again.
Weird Amazon reboot.
We'll see a weird AI de-aged version of Sean Connery showing up, and it will be horrifying. Good night, everybody.
'Here, take this piece of paper, write this down. She says, oh my God, did I just delete? Did I delete this section? Why did I delete this section?
Oh no.
What
did he say?
What the fuck? Why did I delete this? Oh my God.
I don't know.
Hold on. I was looking this up earlier because I was like, I want to make sure I got it right. And it looks like I just deleted it.
Now it's all gone.
I know the keywords. Hold on, let me look it up. I think I found this on the internet too.
Oh no. That's a real shame, man.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.